morning, turning to that passage in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, summarized in the exhortation from verse 11, to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And this in particular in verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, and so on. In the heat of the moment, it's very easy to lose discipline, to lose your grip on the situation. I was just hearing in the background yesterday for a few minutes a bit of commentary on a football match. And eventually there was a red card in this particular just few moments that I heard. There was a red card. A man was sent off in the heat of the moment. Moments do get heated when there are obstacles and where there's opposition. Maybe on the battlefield or in the playground, in the office, on the sports field, in the exam room. Moments get heated. Or you lose discipline. You lose discipline as well when there is nothing. May not be in the heat of the moment, but you're in a state of idleness on the battlefield, in the playground, in the office, in the exam room, or on the sports field. I think the sports analogy is a good one. It would extend to the battlefield as the image that Paul himself uses here. But let's take the sports field where one team is suffering, and perhaps at half time the leader gathers them together and gives them a kind of pep talk. And usually you can't go into much more than a simple reminder of the basics of life, the basics of the game, and to remind the players what's been done already to get ready for the match. It's taking a look back, but also looking ahead. Taking a look back to learn. Looking ahead so that you're not caught by surprise, not caught unready. And in many ways, that's what we have to do ourselves repeatedly, to face the realities, especially the realities of the Christian life. And now is a good time to face those realities for 2013 as it was in 2012. And the things in particular that I would draw to your attention this morning from this verse in particular is first to know that you are engaged in a battle. Know that you're engaged. Know your enemy. Know your equipment. These things briefly this morning. And Paul tells us in verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, and so on. Know first that you are engaged in a struggle. We wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not you are watching a wrestling match. If you are doing little more than watching this struggle, is all well with you? Paul is saying we do not wrestle against such and such things, but by implication we do wrestle. We are wrestling. We are struggling. We are engaged in a conflict. Paul says we. By implication we do wrestle. We wrestle, he goes on to say, against principalities and so on. Paul is involved. He's speaking in verse 10, my brethren. Ephesians as a whole speaks about some incredible blessings. The opening chapter talks about being blessed in every way in heavenly places. This is a recurring point that Paul uses in this letter, the heavenly places. That's the scale at which we're working. We need to be looking. There are some unbelievably good blessings that Paul refers to in Ephesians. And if you want those, you are his brethren. And in our day and age, let me make the point that brethren here includes all, men and women. It's an inclusive term. Let's not get fussy otherwise. My brethren, all who are in the church, we wrestle. I've talked about sports gear a moment ago of different kinds. Imagine if somebody says, I love sport. And you can see that great big dip in the sofa where they've been enjoying it all these years, rather than out on the pitch. Do we get along with that? Do you really love sport? Yes, you love watching it, but do you love it? Do you engage in it? Are you just desperate to get out there? It's not about watching this wrestling. Not about watching this struggle. It's about being part of it. We do wrestle. We are to be engaged in this warfare. The reason being that we are on one side or the other. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, he is under attack. Psalm 22 reminds us of that. He is under attack, and he calls you to share it with him. He says, indeed, you are me on this earth, under attack. If you truly are his. If you are not his, you need to just dip over to James. In chapter 4, James says, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. In one way or another, we are engaged in the conflict. But if life is smooth spiritually, there needs to be a concern if you are professing faith in Christ. The Lord himself is in the heat of the battle. And we will see as we go on that it's in him that we find our hope, our provision. He's in the heat of the battle. It's those who are close to him who will feel the struggles more. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, that we have this immense privilege of being heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him. That so that we may then be glorified together. Is life smooth spiritually? Raise a concern. Alarm. Red flag. How close are you to the Lord? We do wrestle. If you are with him. If you follow the Master, don't set your life to avoid the battles that are against him. I don't say this lightly by any means, because we see the enemy as well. And it's not an enemy to take lightly. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The things that can be seen, they're bad enough. Something far more formidable. Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's our opponents. Know your enemy. Don't make the mistake of thinking it's just the things that you can see. Don't make the mistake where somebody targets you for your faith. You can see, you can hear them, every sense can tell you they're after you. But that's not all. It's not just the flesh and blood. It goes far deeper than that. This is not a struggle as man knows it, especially in our material age. It's not just physical, nor is it merely intellectual. Yes, there will be struggles there, but it's not just that. It's not at the merely emotional level. Yes, there will be struggles there, but it's not just that. All of those, to some extent, are self-contained struggles, self-centered struggles. They are traps that the enemy will set for us. But that's not the root, that's not the real conflict. Somebody was writing recently about the story of David and Goliath. And we often have a little story that we tell about that, and we say how God helps you with the smallest things, or whatever lesson you might take from it. But the deeper you read into that passage, the more you understand it was David who brought out the point. It was truly a conflict between the Lord himself and all who would set themselves against him. It's not about those things that we are so familiar with, especially in our part of the world. People do tend to live on the emotional level or the intellectual level or the physical level. Came across a comment where John in Revelation was about to fall down and worship a spiritual being, the angel. And the comment was, there's no doubt that temperamentally spiritistic people tend to yield themselves to all spiritual influences, and the devil and his demons stand always ready and eager to oblige. Now my reason for mentioning that is to highlight that the converse is also true, and we live in a time when most people dismiss the spiritual. Most people would push it away from them. They would try to work at the merely physical or intellectual or emotional level. I think it was much the case in the days of Paul. That's why he said it, don't just become focused on the flesh and blood struggle. There's more to it than that. Not just about what we can sense or feel. How many people are shutting out the unseen and they say, give us evidence. It's the world in which we live, by and large. People resisting any suggestion of a spiritual realm. And that's equally dangerous. People will do that and they'll shut it out from their consideration. But the devil and his demons stand always ready and eager to get involved there as well, where people are saying, I don't believe in them. What an opportunity that is. I'm thinking of a regeneration project somewhere where they build a brand new playground, but for some reason or other, the local children don't use it straight away, and then the unsavory elements come in and take it over. And it becomes their haunt. We push away the spiritual realities and those powers in the heavenly places that are against God if we say they're not real. Then the very reality will have a massive impact upon us. The follower of Christ must beware, seriously beware of making that kind of mistake, ignoring that reality. That's Paul's warning. Recognize that the even greater trouble that we will face, and that we do face, it comes from the spirits who are in outright opposition to God. Look at the terms, the rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let's recognize the reality of these powers, because they are powers. Is it difficult to be a Christian at work or at school? The spiritual powers are at work, influencing human beings to stand against you and to trouble you for Jesus' sake. It's not a small thing. They want to keep light at bay. They want to keep good and righteousness out of man's lives. The spiritual powers are at work. This is the reality. This is what has been in 2012. This is what will be in 2013, whatever we are given of it. But where are you? Where are you placed? Would you give up the friendship of Christ Jesus for an easy life? Think again. Don't go down that way. As Paul goes on to say, hold on to him all the stronger, that you may be able to stand against his craftiness, the devil's craftiness. Stay close to Christ. It will bring greater trouble upon you. I believe it will be tougher in 2013, by this time next year, if we reach there. Things are going to be very different, I think, at the rate of regress that we've already faced. I know it's tough. Everyone faces struggles that the Lord puts before us. Every time I sit down to prepare something to bring to you, to present the Lord Jesus and the gospel in some form, I feel this. All sorts of things. A distraction of this, a confusion of that, and so on. All sorts of ways in which these influences are present, seeking to push me away from it so that you are away from it. In all my limitations, yet there is something that God would have for you. And these principalities and powers don't want you to get it. Anytime any of us, anytime I do it, I say, I believe in Christ. I want to tell other people about him. It's like in the old cities, if you were a soldier and you put your head above the wall, the enemy would fire at you. If you do that, if you stand for Christ in your workplace, at school, these powers will see you. And they will do what they can to bring you down, to make you hide, anything for a quiet life. Let's not go there. Let's be engaged in this struggle. It's not nice. Not nice at all. But that's the world in which we live. But if we do suffer with him, we will also be glorified with him. These powers, they will do everything they can to persuade you to live an easy life, but they don't offer you glory. The glory that Christ offers is to be found in living for him and in him. And you see, that's what this is about. No, it is facing the reality. It's a major struggle. But in him, you are not alone. In him, you have help. In him, you have what is needed, that you will stand. And that's the equipment that we see as described by Paul. I don't intend to go into it in detail today, but perhaps we will be able to in due course. Just a brief outline, and I'm not going to deal with the metaphors. I'm not sure that it's necessary to tie the metaphors precisely to what the key equipment that is offered here. As we saw with the sports, there's some gear that we have to protect us, and there's other gear that we have to play the game or to fight back with. And that's what we have here. Things to protect us, a great deal to protect us, things to fight back with, to return the attack, to set Satan and his people back. As we know with the Lord Jesus himself, one of the elements that we have here, I suspect we might say, realize that looking at all of them, he had them all. But he set Satan back when he was tempted with the word of God. That's the most obvious. But Satan would come again and again and again. These are things that not many people in the West particularly would have much time for. And some of them, I guess the majority of them, others in the world, have no little time for the gospel of peace, the word of God, and so on. But don't be led astray. Don't follow their way. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're not going about life. If you believe in Christ, you're not going about life in the way that everybody else does. You have to take a hold of these different things, very different things, because you are in a different kind of battle. I mentioned David and Goliath a moment ago. 1 Samuel 17. Many, even the children, would probably remember this part of the story where he said, I'm going out to fight this giant. And so Saul, who was himself a very impressively built man, said, right, you need to put on this armor. David tried it on and it was impossible to move with it. And he discarded it. He said, this is useless for the way I'm going to fight this giant. It's worse than useless, it's a hindrance. It's a problem. He would lose the battle if that's what he depended on. The wrong armor. And so Paul says, don't focus on that mere flesh and blood battle. Focus on the true battle, the deeper battle, and find the armor that you need for that. Prepare well. That's why I say it again this beginning of the year. Do you have these things? Sure you do. Make sure they're ready, polished, on. You don't know. Maybe even now there's something that's distracting you, something that's penetrating, some way in which these spiritual powers are seeking to take you aside. Put on these things. Verse 14, truth. Verse 14, righteousness. Verse 15, the gospel of peace. Verse 16, faith. Verse 17, salvation and the word of God. Verse 18, prayer. That's the list. Make sure you have them. Because of this particular wrestling, this particular battle that we deal with moment by moment. But look as well. Look at each of those. Truth. Where do you find truth? Righteousness. Where do you find righteousness? The gospel of peace. Where do you find that? Faith. Where do you place it? Salvation. Where is that to be found? And the word of God. The word of God that lives. Prayer. Ask all things in my name of the Father. And he will give it to you. These are the very things that bind you to Christ. These are the very things that are to be found in him, and only in him. The way to equip yourself is to ensure that you live in him. He is the Lord of all. He gives himself to you to equip you to share in this battle with him. Psalm 62 verse 2 says, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. But, Jesus himself says in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. Friends, let's hear this call. We are faced with many a challenge to righteousness in our day. I know that I'm not the only one who struggles when I seek to stand for Christ. I know that you go out and you face many who will subtly perhaps blatantly at times, many who serve the purposes of these principalities and powers to drag you aside from Christ. Paul goes on to say, take up the whole armour of God in verse 13, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Things haven't changed in that respect since Paul's day. Men are still set against the Lord and His anointed because they come under this influence. They will not take Christ. But there is also a great danger in doing what you can and allowing those principalities to pass you by unnoticed. The great danger is that you are then mistaken for one of them. How will the Lord then look on you? But stay true to Him, He will be true to you. But you will not be surprised, you'll be ready. As I will go seek to emphasize briefly this evening, that we can look back thankfully on the past year, that we are found here again today. Surely the Lord has helped us. But that's not for us to rest. Let's be prepared, not caught out. In Daniel we read of Babylon. You know the story perhaps of the feast where the hand appeared writing on the wall. That was a great feast. They just relaxed. They transgressed every standard. A great party. Babylon is mighty. We're fine, thank you very much. And that very night, the enemy broke in. The king was killed. And they became another nation, conquered, because they were not ready. Let's be ready for 2013. Under no illusions, the battle is still upon us. We do still wrestle against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age. I would therefore ask, as Paul did, of himself, when he calls to pray with all, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me. How God works these things, do we know? But He has called me to pastor in some way this congregation. I need your prayers for 2013 to give me utterance, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I can't do it on my own. I need your prayers. We need each other's prayers as a congregation. Our ministry in this place and in every place where we are needs much prayer. Does the gospel matter? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that gospel that brings this down upon you worse than a ton of bricks. But does it matter? Does it matter to you? Does it matter to others? Surely it does. Well, give it your attention. For the sake of others, if not yourself, but surely for yourself too. Give it your life. That's what these weapons and protection are all about. It's about life. It's about prayers. Isn't this a picture that tells us it will not be smooth sailing, but it is the way home? God grant blessing on His word of the year past, whatever He gives us in the year to come. Let us seek Him in prayer today. Let us pray.